Yes, and you didn't even talk to her.
Virgil's face flushed, full on red now. He put his hand on Sacred's head and ran his fingers along his fur.
What do you mean?
He said. Valencia was now out of sight, but Cowrie waved in her general direction, rolled her eyes, and heaved an enormous sigh all at once, to show the level of her displeasure.
You barely spoke. This was your chance, Virgil. School's over. She just rescued you from a well.
Hey, I'm the one who had the rope, said Gen.
And you just stood there. I thought this was the girl of your dreams or something, fated to be friends.
Virgil's face now resembled a ripened strawberry.
What do you mean?
He said unconvincingly.
I just met her.
Cowrie crossed her arms. So did Gen. Virgil Salinas, I know when people are lying to me, and you are officially the worst liar in the universe, which is really sad because the universe itself is trying to intervene on your behalf. Virgil looked at Sacred. Sacred looked at Virgil.
The universe isn't doing anything, Cowrie. If it was, then it wouldn't...
He paused.
Wouldn't what?
Cowrie said.
Nothing.
If it's not the universe, then how do you explain everything that happened today?
She counted on her fingers.
The fact that V.S. came to see me on the exact same day you disappeared? The fact that she somehow figured out where you were? The fact that Gen had a jump rope?
Yeah,
Gen offered in support.
What about all that stuff?
And lest we not forget,
Cowrie continued, raising her finger in the air for emphasis, the fact that she had a guinea pig with the same name as yours.
It wasn't the same name. Her guinea pig was named Lilliput.
Might as well have been the same thing.
Cowrie would have kept going, but a text from her mother said it was time to come home for dinner. Virgil looked at the dog.
Cowrie, all that stuff is just...
Don't say it, Cowrie said. It was all just...
Don't say it,
Gen said.
Coincidence.
Cowrie hung her head.
If that's what you believe, there's no hope for you, Virgil Salinas.
She turned to her sister.
Come on, Gen. Mrs. Tanaka made chicken cutlets.
Chapter 41 The Tiger of Elm Street, Part 2
All he had to say was two words.
Just two words.
Thank you.
Valencia Somerset had pulled him out of a well, and he didn't even thank her. He hadn't said a single word, not even, hello. How hard was it to open your mouth and talk? Why did he have to be so...
Virgil-like? Hello, Valencia, he mumbled to himself as he made his way down Elm Street with Sacred, who walked right alongside him as if they were connected by an invisible leash.
Thank you. You practically saved my life. I owe you one.
His body ached. Hunger pains seared through his empty stomach. His head throbbed like it had its own heartbeat. He was scuffed and dirty. He could have died.
But he could have at least said, thank you.
He could have at least said, hello. Sacred's paws click-clacked against the sidewalk. Virgil was acutely aware, as always, that he was fast approaching the Bullens' house, but he was too exhausted to care. Being face-to-face with death made Chet seem so... ordinary. Boring, even. Virgil wasn't sure if fate was testing him, or if it was just your usual Saturday evening luck, but the bull was outside as they approached. He was sitting in the middle of the driveway with a basketball in his lap, staring up at the hoop like it was a million miles away.
"Hey, retardo," said Chet when he saw him.
Then he saw Sacred and scooted back a little. Virgil didn't put his head down like he normally did. He didn't shuffle past and hold his breath until he was safely out of harm's way. He was too tired, too fed up, too everything. Today was not the day to mess with Virgil Salinas. Well, not anymore. Virgil made direct eye contact with Chet, and before he knew what he was doing, he stopped. Sacred stopped, too. The bull pulled up his knees and wrapped his arms around the ball. His eyes darted from Sacred to Virgil.
"What are you looking at, retardo?"
Was that a tremor in his voice? Virgil's arms hung at his sides. Sacred nudged his hand.
"Call me that again, and you'll regret it," Virgil said.
The bull's uncertain smile faded. He cleared his throat.
"Whatever,"
he said.
"It doesn't take many words to turn your life around, Bayani."
Lola was waiting outside when Virgil came up the walk. He was barely within hearing distance when she started.
"Ay, Naku, I've been calling and typing to your phone. Where have you been? And what is that animal doing with you? And why didn't you answer?"
Now that he was closer, Lola could see the rumpled clothes, the unkempt hair, the sheen of sweat and fatigue, his puffy eyes, the dirt and rust on his hands from the ladder. And he must have had a certain look on his face, because after she addressed his clothes and hair, she fixed on his expression.
"Virgilio," she said quietly, "what's happened to you today?"
"I got eaten, like the stone boy. But my friends chiseled me out," he said. His voice was tired and weary.
He walked past Lola and opened the front door. She followed him inside without any more questions. So did Sacred. His parents and brothers were in the living room, but they didn't seem overly concerned with Virgil. They were watching television, something funny, of course, and filling the room with their laughter. His parents were on the couch with their backs to him, and his twin brothers were in recliners on either side. His mother turned at the sound of the door. When she saw Sacred, she stood up and waved madly.
"Get that dog out of here, Turtle! He'll mess up the rug," she said.
The others turned then, too.
"A dog will be good for the house," Lola said. "Keep away the robbers."
She exchanged a knowing look with Virgil. His father said,
"Sit down and watch television with us."
And he turned back to the TV, apparently unmoved by the presence of a large, strange dog. Julius and Joselito half stood from their seats to get a look at Sacred.
"What kind of dog is that?" Julius asked.
"Where did you get him?"
asked Joselito.
"I don't know. He followed me home," Virgil said.
At that moment, Virgil realized how bright his house was. Even its smells were comforting. He hadn't noticed that before. And the cool air felt plush on his skin. His mother had made her way around the couch and was shooing Sacred. The dog took two steps toward the door, then two steps back to Virgil, confused by Mrs. Salinas's frantic movements.
"Turtle! He's dirty, and he stinks!"
Lola put her hand on Sacred's head. The dog stood still.
"He just needs a bath," said Lola. "Virgil will give him a bath. Won't you, Virgilio?"
She lifted her chin and gave him a look. It was a look that said,
"I understand."
"Understand what, though?"
You are not the same, Virgilio. That's what she understands. Open your eyes, Bayani.
Virgil blinked. He put his hand on Sacred's head, right next to Lola's.
I wish you wouldn't call me Turtle, he said to his mother. You can call me Virgil, or Virgilio, or Bayani. But don't call me Turtle.
She stopped her panicked movements and stared at him. He'd never seen this look before. He didn't recognize it.
Anger?
Sadness? Shock?
She's seeing you for the first time, Bayani. That's all.
She kissed her index finger and pressed it to his forehead.
Okay, Virgilio, she said.
Chapter 42 Messages. There are 73 new text messages on my phone, all between me and Kaori. We're figuring out our business plan. Tanaka and Somerset. I almost suggested that it should be alphabetical order, Somerset and Tanaka. But since it was her idea and she's more of the expert, I figured her name should come first. There are 73 new text messages on my phone. Yesterday, I only had 12, and most of those were from my mom. It's nearing midnight now. The room has been dark for hours except for the light of my phone. I'm yawning, and Kaori and I have finally decided to save the rest of our conversation for tomorrow. But we have a solid base plan. Our next move will be finding clients. Before we sign off, I have one question. What were you and Gen talking about before we went to the well? You said it would make sense once we found V. Kaori didn't say anything for a long time, or at least what felt like a long time. Finally, she texted back. When it's time for the universe to speak, it will. If I'm going into business with her, I guess I should learn how to say things like that. Or at least try to understand what they mean. I think I kind of have an idea, though. It's not that different from how I talk to Saint Renee. I don't know if Saint Renee is listening. I don't know if Saint Renee is even able to listen. For all I know, Saint Renee no longer exists, and I'm just talking to nothing. But Saint Renee might be somewhere, listening and nodding and helping me along. Who knows? I lay the phone on my chest and shake my crystal caverns globe. I watch the bats flutter and fall. I got my wish to be an explorer. A well is kind of like a cave, right? I close my eyes and rewind the day. I've never helped a snakebite victim, saved a boy from a well, and met a psychic all in one day, so there's a lot to rewind. Life is funny sometimes. Yesterday, I had 12 texts on my phone. Today, I have 73. I think about everything, even Gen's jump rope. I picture it dangling there from the last rung. How many years would it take before her jump rope rots and disappears? Maybe it would rescue some other kid 100 years from now. I imagine what that kid would look like. It could be a boy again, or a girl. And their friend dares them to go into the well, and they do, and they fall. And they think they're stuck, and they'll never be able to escape until they see the rope. And they'll think it's fate. They'll wonder how that rope got there, and they'll never know. The rope will shine, a bright pink coil in a dark, dark place. I like that thought. It's like we've left something behind. I don't know for sure, but I don't think I'll have the nightmare tonight. Don't ask me how I know. Sometimes you just know. I think about Lilliput. And Gulliver, too. I wonder if my mom will let me get another guinea pig, if I ask her. I think of Sacred. What was he doing at this moment? And I think of Virgil, too. The way the redness crept into his face. The way he wasn't able to talk. I think of how he looked in that family photo, like he only went because his parents made him, which was probably true. Thinking of Virgil makes me think of his Lola. "Valencia of Spain," she'd said. I remind myself to learn more about the Valencia Cathedral. She said it was an important place, and she seemed like she knew what she was talking about. I wonder what makes it important. I wonder what cathedrals look like, and if I'll ever go to one. I yawn again. My eyes are still closed. I feel myself falling down, down, down into sleep. I'm almost there when something jolts me awake. I jump. My eyes open. The room seems lit by a flashlight, only it's not a flashlight. It's my phone. And it's vibrating. Kaori must have forgotten to say something. I pick it up. My eyes burn because the screen is so bright. It's 33 minutes after midnight. It's Lola's number. But I know right away it isn't Lola. Suddenly, I'm wide awake. I stare at the single word, and for some reason, I don't know why, I get a weird feeling in my belly, like 100 butterflies have taken flight. It says, "Hello."
We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Hello Universe by Aaron Entrada Kelly. Performed by Ramon Diocampo and Amy Lynn Abelera. This program was produced by Dion Audio Services. The director was Jeremy Cochis. Executive producer, Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright 2017 by Aaron Entrada Kelly. Production copyright 2017 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.